as a president.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. We welcome you today to WMIE 91.5 FM. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we're believing that 2017 is going to be a great year for God's kingdom here in Brevard County. We're just talking right now out of Isaiah 58 about how God defines a fast, and he doesn't want us focusing on our pleasure. He wants us focusing on his pleasure. He wants us to treat others well. He doesn't want us being obsessed with strife and discord or oppressing with wickedness. And so that's what we talked about on yesterday's broadcast. Today, we're going to get back into the Word of God. Not going to read the whole passage again like I did yesterday. Verse number 4 is where we will begin reading. And it says, "Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh." We're going to stop reading there at verse number 7. The people Isaiah was ministering to had as their objective of their fasting to make their voice heard. By the way, I do need to tell you just a couple of announcements. We resume our Wednesday night service this coming Wednesday night. 6 p.m. is when we start serving the food for the kids. 6:30, the kids' classes start. 7 o'clock, the adult Bible study starts. We will be resuming that this week. I also want to let you know that with the kids being out of school, we wanted to provide a one-night VBS for them. That will be Friday night, January the 6th, from 6 to 7:30. And so it's like a very condensed, compressed vacation Bible school. But if your kids have been off of school for a couple of weeks, by now they're probably fighting a little bit of boredom. And so we have planned for a one-night vacation Bible school. It'll be at 165 North Grove Street. Come and be a part of that. Your kids will be blessed as they hear about Jesus. So, back to making our voice heard. He says, in verse number 4, that the purpose that the people of Isaiah's day were fasting was to make their voices heard. They set out as the objective to make their voice heard. For them, the most important voice was their own voice. And as we've talked about here, if you're interested in that voice, then you surround yourself with people who sound just like you. And if you feel like you are being ignored, what happens is you increase the volume of your voice. Get others rallied around to echo your voice. Every once in a while, I can be at my church or I can be at the house and I can hear the bands playing, the high school marching band. I can hear them. And what happens is as their voices begin, or their breath, if you will, begins to operate in unity, the volume increases. Some people will increase. And so in order for their voice to be heard, they start yelling louder. For some people, they start using words that they shouldn't use because that increases their emphasis. Some people will try and position themselves in such a way so that their voice is heard. You know, so if you have a voice vote on something, you yell louder because you want your voice known. And thank God we have a voice, but I want you to know that when I fast, it's not so that God will hear my voice better. The purpose of my fast needs to be so that I will hear God's voice more clearly. The Bible says that in the last days that there would come a time when there would be a famine for hearing the word of God. That people would not be interested in hearing from God anymore, but instead they would surround themselves with teachers who would tell them what they wanted to hear. And I, you know, as a pastor, my job isn't to tell you what you want to hear. My job is to tell you what God's word has to say. John Wesley, I believe it was, he said that when he preached to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comforted. Right now, there is so much that it's like, okay, we need to make sure that everything is politically correct. We need to make sure that there is nothing that is said in such a manner that anybody is going to be offended. I will be quite honest with you. There are things that God has told me personally through the years that were anything but comforting to hear, because God is interested in making me the man that he wants me to be. And so that's not always from patting me on the head and telling me what a good boy I am. Sometimes he says, Bob, you need to correct this in your life. Bob, you need to get this out of your life. And those things are not comfortable. Hearing from God and him saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. The path you're on leads to destruction. The path I want you on leads to life. Sometimes we don't like it when we are told that we are wrong. And so we, right now, and I'll be honest with you, I have never seen American society of such a two-year-old mindset. I've had three children. I know what a two-year-old mindset looks like, and that is that if that child does not get what they want, then they increase the volume of their crying, they throw themselves down, they throw a temper tantrum, and they try and influence through volume and throwing a fit. And God takes exactly the opposite mindset. On Wednesday nights, we have dozens of kids that are running around. And the way that we get them to, be quiet when it's, you know, they show up early a lot of times. And so the way that we get them quiet is not to raise our voice to where we are louder than they are. Quite simply, our leadership, they just raise their hand. They raise their hand, and all of a sudden, one of the kids will see that hand raised, and they say, uh-oh. We need to be quiet because our teacher has something to say. And so the way that the voice is heard is not by raising the voice, but by being silent until the crowd realizes we need to hear something. Now, most of the time, that's when we're getting ready to pray for the food. And so they want to eat. So they're very quick to quiet down because there's food involved. 2017, let's focus on hearing God's voice. If we don't pray, we can't hear his voice. If we don't be still, we will never know that he is God. So let's make it our goal to say, God, rather than me trying to make my voice heard, let's hear what you have to say. Your voice is the one that moves mountains. Your voice is the voice of authority. It goes forth and it accomplishes. what you want it to. Let's look at some of the things that God says here and that he has chosen. In verse number 6, it says, to loose the bonds of wickedness. You and I need to abandon wickedness. We don't need to slow it down. We don't need to mask it. We don't need to, you know, eliminate part of it. We want to get rid of all of it. Wickedness is destructive. Wickedness brings heartache and it brings pain. It will ruin your life. If you went in for surgery and they were removing something that was infected or diseased or was killing you, if they went in to do surgery, one of the things that you would want to hear when you came out of surgery was, we got it all. We got everything out of there that was killing you. How much more do we need to abandon the destructive behaviors and mindsets that the Word of God says that we need to get rid of? We need to unyoke ourselves. We need to loose any bonds that we have with wickedness. We need to free ourselves as quickly as possible. So that's one of the things that, we are doing. My wife and I are striving with a great deal of deliberation, intentionality, to liberate ourselves financially from bad decisions that I've made in the past. I'm not here to have you feel sorry for me. You know, I got into that hole digging with a shovel at a time, but I'm telling you that we've taken that shovel, we've turned it over to the Lord and said, God, we're going to fill that bad boy in. We're going to liberate ourselves from that. And so we don't look for new ways to create it. We look for ways to get rid of that. I don't want to be a servant to banks. Anytime the government decided that they were going to help us out financially, I started reaching for my wallet to find out how much it was going to cost me extra, because everything had a price tag. So the other thing is to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free. You need to be in such a position that you are removing burdens from other people. Allow this to be a year of jubilee for you. Last year, we had a great deal of privilege to have one of our former staff members that came or had served at the church, and they happened to be back down in the area. They drove over from Orlando and visited the church, and when they were there, I preached a sermon on it being a year of jubilee. The year of jubilee was a year of debt cancellation. And the staff person was so moved by it that they got a dog. They named it Jubilee, and Jubilee had just passed away, like earlier in the year. It lived a long, long, healthy life. And I told the people of the church, and the church was in debt at the time. I said, now, you don't go writing your mortgage company and saying, you know, Pastor Bob said it was a year of jubilee, and so it's a year of debt cancellation, and so I'm not going to be sending you my mortgage payment anymore. I'm just going to be living as if the mortgage has been paid for. I said, don't do that. They're going to come and repossess your or foreclose on your house. I said, don't, if you owe a car payment, don't say, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore because it's a year of jubilee. They will come and repossess your car. That's not what the year of jubilee was to do. The year of jubilee was a mandate from God to those who had authority over other people's burdens that they could cancel those burdens. And I said, so what I'm challenging you to do as a congregation is, if there's someone you're holding a grudge against, if there is someone that you are refusing to forgive, that you remove that burden from them and from you, and you cancel that debt, forgive them, set them free. remove the burdens from other people. My job as the pastor and the leader at Merit Assembly of God is to empower other people, not to burden other people. I'm supposed to empower the saints to do the work of the ministry. I want them equipped and empowered to accomplish the things that God has laid upon their hearts. But if you don't ever cancel another person's debt and then you expect to have your debt canceled, you are going to find that your debt, even though you might get a temporary reprieve, that it will come back, and it will come back exacerbated. It will come back with intensity, because God forgives people who are willing to forgive others. You can look in the New Testament. He says, if you don't forgive, then you will not be forgiven. I know that you don't hear that a lot, but it really does say that. So you need to remove burdens from other people. Now, I like to share this. I preached that message. We were in debt as a church. It wasn't a debt that I had created, but it was a debt that I became responsible for when I became the pastor of the church. And within a month of preaching that message, the debt was canceled. We had been faithful. We had paid on it. We were not delinquent. We had not even requested that the debt be wiped out. We had just been faithful to service the debt as best we could, and our debt was forgiven. And then a church transforming donation came in. It was something that literally changed the dynamic of Merit Assembly of God. That donation that came in, well, it was pledged at that point in time. It was some time before it actually came to fulfillment. But that donation changed our church. It changed what we were able to do. It changed how we were able to bless. And so I'm telling you this. When God says to remove burdens from other people, I'm going to remove burdens, because I found that if I will do that for them, God will remove burdens from my life. It goes on here and it describes ministering to people's felt needs. It talks about here in verse number 7, it says, to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him. So there was food, there was financial, and there were clothing issues, there were covering issues. And so he says you need to be people who minister to people's felt needs. And I pray that you do that. I will tell you this. God says in the Old Testament that because of his provision, that there should be no poor among you. If we are walking in obedience, he said that he would pour out from the windows of heaven, that there's not room enough to contain. I'm not interested in hoarding the blessings of God. I am interested in seeing everyone manifest the blessings of God. I want them experiencing that. Now, in the New Testament, it said that the poor would always be among them. And Jesus said, you can help them anytime that you want. Now, I will tell you this. I've got this written down in another place as well. But when you help, it is not just about a donation. You are not called to isolate yourself from the needy. There are some people that they are so distant from needy people that they don't smell like sheep, if you will. You know, I was in a meeting one time, and the one of the persons that was speaking said that they had been to a different country, and they went to a pastor school, and they met this pastor, and the pastor on this island said, you're a pastor. And he said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He said, you don't smell like sheep. And I want you to know that I'm as a pastor, I'm not called to be isolated from the body. I'm called to minister to the body. You know, Jesus, one of my favorite pictures of him, you know, is him holding a wounded lamb on his shoulders. I can tell you, I can't tell you about sheep, but I can tell you about pigs, and I can tell you about dogs, and I can tell you about cows. And that is that if you spend a lot of time around them, you are going to begin to smell like them. You are going to become nose blind to the scent, but everybody else will pick up on it. And so I want to ask you, how much time do you plan on spending in 2017 ministering to the needy of the community? That doesn't mean that every person that has a need that they get what they want. Some, listen, I've known people who are bound by alcohol and drugs, and I'm not going to finance that habit for them. I'm not going to enable them in their thing, in their addiction. That will lead to their destruction, not their deliverance. And so it says in verse number 10, that when you're ministering to the hungry, that you need to extend your soul to the hungry. You and I, we need to be fully engaged in ministering. And one of the problems that we have in America right now is that the government wants to control how you minister to needy people. Listen, the greatest need that any individual has is the need to hear about Jesus Christ and that he will forgive them of their sins. He will empower them and give them gifts. He will give them the ability to produce wealth, that God has a better quality of life. God does not want you to be enslaved to the government for their provision. He wants to empower you in such a way that you are a productive member of society. Now, there are some situations, there are people who are physically incapable. I'm not talking about they're injured. I'm talking about they are physically not able to go about work. And I understand that there are those needs, but those are the exception. They are not the majority. And I believe that our government should do everything that is necessary to take care of those who are with physical and mental challenges here in our community. But the church has a not only the tangible solution, but the spiritual solution. The spiritual solution is the most important. It will provide the tangible solution. God will give people the ability to produce wealth. And so, if I'm going to minister to people's needs, I need to be at liberty to minister to their spiritual needs as well as their physical needs. I shouldn't be hindered from saying, God bless you. I shouldn't be told, well, you can't minister to people's physical needs, and then they get mad at you. My wife and I, when we were dating, we had a person that was we were waiting in line at a Wendy's restaurant, and this person was very poor. And I mean, I've told you how much money we had at that time. When we went on a date, we got one hamburger, one fry, one drink, and we split it. But there was a man there that night, and, he said, I haven't eaten for days. I'm really hungry. And I said, Well, come on, we will buy you something to eat. Now so that meant we weren't going to split the meal. And so as we were waiting in line, we began to share the gospel with him. And he looked and he said, "You're not one of those Jesus freaks, are you?" And I said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am." And, you know, but if I was going to minister to his need, I was going to minister to his greatest need as well as to his most urgent need. And I had another person that I ministered to in that same community, and I took him over and I bought him, it was in Chicago. I took him over and bought him a hot dog and fries from a little Italian beef place in Chicago, not far from the church that I was at. And I will tell you, I've never seen a man eat food as fast as I did that night. And I told him, I said, "Now, we would really like to see you come to church." And I said, "You don't have any alcohol issues, do you? And he said, oh, no, 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 no. I just fell on some hard times. And that was on a Friday. On Wednesday night, I was taking some kids home from church, and I passed a liquor store, and there this man, the exact same man in the exact same clothes, came out. And folks, I want you to know, some of our financial problems are because of our spiritual problems. We need to solve those. So, Merit Assembly of God, we have policies in place of helping people, but we don't help people who cold call. We are looking to build relationship. And so if there's anybody in our church that has needs, we do as best we can to minister to those needs. If there's a person in the church and they know someone that has a legitimate need, we will do whatever we can to help those with legitimate needs. But if there's a person that just comes and shows up at our door, we say, you know what? Where do you go to church? It's one of the first questions I ask if a person, and if they tell me they go such and such, I said, well, you know what? I know the pastor of that church, and let's go call and see if we can't get them to help you. And, you know, in all honesty, most of the time they pick some of the largest churches, and the pastor doesn't know them. I will tell you this right now. You need a church. You need to be in relationship with people in the church. Your pastor or the staff pastors, they need to know you. They need to know your faithfulness. They need to know what is going on. And I will tell you this, the churches that I have been a part of, when they know you and you're building relationship and you're doing the best you can to live in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable for God, they are all in and helping you. When we came to Brevard County, we were part of a, we became part of the church. We got fully involved, and we were struggling financially. Our rent had increased when we moved here by double, and our pay went down when we moved here. We didn't move here because it was an economic thing. It moved us farther away from family. We moved here because God wanted us here. And the church that we were at, they made a big difference in our life because they literally broke into our car and filled it up with stuff two Sundays in a row. You need to be at a church. If you've got needs in your life, address those spiritual needs first, and you will find quickly that when you address the spiritual needs, that the other needs are going to be met as well. Folks, if we're going to be the church that fasts for the presence of God, we need to not isolate ourselves from the needy, but we need to reach them with the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, I pray that you would help us to see with eyes that you have. Lord, show us needs in our community, needs that we can meet for the glory of God. May Jesus be exalted in this. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.